Blog Talk Radio.
It's January 7th, 2013. Can you believe it? A whole week has gone by already. This is Foxology, and I am Silver Ray Fox. Happy Monday morning or afternoon, depending on where you are in the world. And welcome to my cyber place here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, last week went so well that I thought I would do it again and again and again. How about that? I appreciate if you have tuned in or if you have downloaded that show and that's why how you're listening. I know that you could be doing anything else, but you chose to spend some time checking out Foxology. Thank you so much. And please tell your friends about the show. In fact, if you can, right now, email them, call them, Twitter them, Facebook them, and let them know that we are about to have an exciting and interesting conversation about stereotypes. See no evil, the dilemmas and dangers of stereotypes is today's topic. And why, might you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. Sometimes we tend to see and judge people and situations from the worst perspectives and ideas, and oftentimes we are quite wrong. Those judgments that we make about people, those opinions are sometimes kind of funny, and I guess that's okay, but sometimes they're offensive, and sometimes they're not funny, and sometimes they can lead to real serious consequences. I think of something that happened at a job many years ago. There was a guy, when he was hired, he looked pretty corporate normal, if you know what I mean, the suit and the tie and short haircut. Well, I take that back. Longer hair, but not as fancy as it got after he worked there for a little while. And here's what I'm talking about. After he had worked there for a couple of months, he started showing up at work with this very high, tall, spiked mohawk that happened to be green and yellow and orange and blue. And it totally alienated him from everybody. Everybody who saw this guy, he had been labeled now as a weirdo, and consequently he tended to withdraw from people. And you know, he had absolutely not one friend at work, not one, because people just thought he was strange. Well, one day when I saw him walking in a corridor, I decided that I would investigate, because I like doing stuff like that. So I started walking alongside of him, and I say, "Hey, how you doing?" And I introduced myself, and he told me his name, and he seemed more normal than a lot of other people I knew, as a matter of fact. But anyway, I said to him, "You know, we're all kind of curious about your hair. What's up with that?" And so he said to me, "Well, I'm in a rock band at night." So, of course, once I told everybody the news about that, it just made all the sense in the world. So he's rocking his hair in the day and rock and rolling at night. It all made sense. But the funny part about it, the interesting thing about it, and probably a little insanity about it, is that everybody labeled this guy weird. And the fact of the matter was, he was probably one of the nicest, most reserved, kindest people I could have been talking with that day. Wonderful personality. So we are sometimes very wrong about some of the judgment calls that we make when we look at people, and we come up with our own estimations and our own opinions. And sometimes we may find that we're losing the benefit of a relationship, a friendship, an opportunity. That's the kind of thing that we're going to be talking about today. And I happen to have a wonderful guest. She is an expert in the areas of maladaptive behaviors and all kinds of thinking patterns that can go awry. She is Dr. Jenny Love, and Jenny has a master's degree in mental health counseling and a doctorate in transpersonal counseling. She specializes in resolving root issues underlying the causes of symptoms resulting in emotional dis-ease. Overall, in a nutshell,
is very good at troubleshooting issues and helping people live happier, healthier, and more balanced lives. And she's on the line with me right now. Dr. Jenny Love, welcome to Foxology.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be here.
Well, I am excited to be talking with you today about this particular subject. You and I had a few minutes to chat about it, and boy, I'm telling you, we were on the same page about a lot of this stuff. I have taken the time to take a look at a few things. I look at a lot of stuff online. You know, we can find out almost anything we want to know these days online, and I tell you, there were a lot of very interesting, more stereotypes than I really wanted to list. I found some of them kind of intriguing, most of them very strange. And I know from your opinion, I won't say your opinion, I mean your expertise, you've got some thoughts on these myths or invented ideas and false concepts that we tend to come up with. What's your basic take on that? And then I'm going to share some of these stereotypes with you, and then we're going to talk about how some of them really are hilarious and funny, but some of them just are not.
Some of them are downright deadly. To sum it up as brief as I can for the sake of the show time, being in psychology, there's a theory for everything. So I think that we take those theories sometimes too far. I do believe, however, in groupthink. I mean, it's a very obvious and, we experience it all the time. To me, it's an immature psyche. When we first come into this world, we're looking to, our identity. We seek out certain people who we think are going to be more like us, or who we're going to have more in common with, what have you. But there comes a point in time, and we're not being, I don't want to say vocal enough. We're just not being on purpose enough, I think, to broaden everyone's horizons. Groupthink, to me, is behind. And it seems so innocent, and it's not innocent. It causes holocaust. It causes major things. And it's from having a clique in a high school to, deadly situations. And so we can no longer look at these situations as it's just the way that it is, because we have the power to change it. Our obsession with labels. It feels comfortable to be around people who are like us, but how much we're restraining ourselves and boxing ourselves in. Well, we don't have a broader. We have these narrow minds, and we don't expand ourselves to welcome in other energies. And it doesn't mean we welcome in all energies, but I think it's a very good example that you made about this guy that you worked with who had the mohawk. How innocent is that? How innocent is it to have a mohawk? The guy was just, just part of his job. But because we've, seen people who have, piercings or tattoos or mohawks, and it means one thing, that's a programming. So we need to deprogram ourselves and be able to take people on a one-on-one situation.
Exactly. You know what I would like for you to do? That was some excellent insight. What I'd like for you to do, I understand what groupthink is. I know what it is, but I'm sure a lot of people who are listening may not know the groupthink theory. Would you give us a brief definition of what that means when we're talking about groups and cliques like you mentioned?
From a psychological perspective, it's just it occurs within a group of people. There's many instances of it, it comes from a desire to feel that, you have this conformity. And what can happen, you see it over and over. You look at, even something like Georgetown, you look at situations where you get a group of people together and they just, it goes to the extreme. But in our society, that's really what we have. We have this situation where we have this group think, and it's individuals who take controversial issues and they swing it too far one way or the other.
And the other thing that I know about it,
it's dysfunctional. It's very dysfunctional. It's just this. It's just delusional and dysfunctional. We're not this group think. We're taking the thought of the entire group instead of thinking for ourselves individually, and it's just not realistic.
You're right about that as well, too. Of course, I know. And also, one other component of groupthink is that they are not they, meaning the particular reference to a group or society, not open to having weighing possibilities that they could be wrong about what they're thinking.
And you also need to realize, I think people need to realize, is groupthink isn't just something that's happening. Like, people are there are people that are creating groupthink. You think of the people behind the curtain. There are people who are creating groupthink. We need to, it needs to be the sheep mentality, where we're never doubting anyone. Because a sheep will literally walk off a cliff. Sheep will literally walk off a cliff following someone, not questioning anything. And we need to wake up. We need to know why we think what we think. We need to understand that when a thought, you know, our minds work in a certain way and we are programmed to a certain degree, but we have the power to change that programming. And that's what it's really about. It's about being aware and not beating ourselves up because we have the stereotypical thinking pattern. That's what we've been taught. That's what we've been taught, and to a degree, that's what our brains have taught us. But the key here is to admit it and to be able to be brave enough to challenge it so that you can change it. Because that's what change will not happen until, you know, there are still times where I look. Tim Wise is this brilliant anti-racist author, and not long ago I had a talk with him, and he was talking about the fact that he had a moment where he had a racist thought. It came to him, and he felt like, he's just like, where is that coming from? Because it was programmed in him growing up, but he's aware of it instantly now, and so he can change it. So I don't want people to beat themselves up about these stereotypes. I want them instead to be aware of how they came to be so they can change them.
That's the reason that we're talking about this today, Jenny. I have an initiative that I'm calling the Foxology Project, Thinking for a Change. And this show is a part of that to help all of us, me included. I expect to be one of the front seat learners when I'm talking to people for things that help us and the way we think and our perceptions, because we are all laden with them. We're laden with what we've grown up with, what we've experienced, what we think we know about people. And so much of it, especially in this day and age, we're just really wrong and needing to have our thoughts and perspectives expanded. We need to be able to see things from all sides, and a lot of us won't take the time to do that. It's easier, I'm sure, for a lot of people just to stay and this is what I believe, this is the way it is, that those people are like, that's what that person is like, that's how that happens, period. But the fact of the matter is, if you start thinking through it and allow yourself an opportunity to perhaps walk around it, you know, let's say if it were a tree, walk around it. Well, the tree looks like a tree from all sides, but once you begin to walk around it, you're going to see different variations of it. You're going to see also something from a different direction being on the opposite side of that tree. And so I think it's just valuable, in my opinion, to talk about things. And even though, you know, these conversations that I have with special guests like you are not going to be very long, but, you know, it doesn't take very long to help somebody see or have that aha moment that says,
well,
you know.
What you just said is such a perfect example. I mean, that is just what a vision that you just gave, because walking around that tree and just noticing, you know, maybe different etchings in the bark or what have you, but that's a perfect visual to understand. We just need to have new eyes. We just need to have new eyes and realize that, the idea, you know, groupthink, I'm using that term right now, but there's 100 others that I could use. It discourages creativity. It bundles you in. It doesn't, you know, we need to be more individually responsible for our choices and not just go, you know, not just go with any flow. Know the flow you're in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have a purposeful flow that's one of love,
mm-hmm,
and not fear. Because one of love and not fear, because at the end of the day, when we get down to the root cause of all of this, it's fear.
we were talking before the show started, and I used an example that I'd like for us to talk about as well. The scenario that I gave to you was a real one that happened to me. I wasn't just going off the top of my head with that. Recently, when I was getting some gas, I noticed a young man, a very big young man, who I guess if I were to call it anything, my opinion would have been to say that looked shady, whatever that means, okay, standing outside the door of the gas station, just kind of kicking around, looking kind of, with his head down but up and glancing at everybody that was pumping gas. Well, the first thing that came to me was, what's he doing? Why is he standing there? What is he up to? Which I was really sorry afterwards that I went there, because all he was doing was waiting for a friend to come out of the gas station, and they walked off together. Just very normal scenario. But why did I allow myself to even look at him and think, by perhaps the way he the demeanor I thought I recognized and the way he dressed, that I made a decision that he may have been up to something that wasn't good? Why in the world would I, and I really try to be as fair-minded as possible, but you brought up something when I told that to you that I know is a reality, and it was an element of not the fear factor that made me scared, but there's a fear factor that kicks in that sometimes causes us to stereotype.
Can I say quickly that we also have instincts? And I think with the situation that you're explaining, you know, he's standing outside of a convenience store, it sounded like, or a gas station, and it's mm-hmm. late at night, and you're a female. You need to follow your instincts. You need to be safe. Where we run into the stereotyping, like what I mentioned when we were talking about that earlier, is that's a completely different scenario than Trayvon Martin, who had on a hoodie and was just walking home, and someone's chasing after him with a gun. Those are two completely different things, and this is where we need to once again be aware. Now, had this young man in front of the gas station or the convenience store, had, you know, you've been in a situation where you could sit down and you're having a, you know, communication with him, then you can get to know him a little bit and he'll let you know who he is, and then you'll be able to use your intuition to form some kind of beginning understanding of him. But you can't take away from the fact that, you know, you do need to be careful. It's at night. You're a woman. He's standing outside of a convenience store, just standing there. And you don't know whether he's there for reasons that are not positive or he's waiting on a friend. So there's a difference there. And that has to be accounted for, because we're not living in a utopia.
So there are times, and of course, from that perspective, I do understand that you're saying for my own protection, there mm-hmm. that you're saying, then what I felt was not an unhealthy thought pattern.
I don't think so at all. Not mm-hmm. at all. No,
okay.
I don't think it was unhealthy at all. I think that it's I think that it's common sense, and I think that you have to take it in a balanced approach. Now, if you see this young man and it's a lit area and there's people around and you're in a mall and you have that thought, then yes, I need to look up, why do I have that immediate fear? Why am I mm-hmm. fearful of him? Because you're in a situation where you're not having to protect yourself immediately. You know what I'm saying? That mm-hmm. brings in a whole other element.
Well, let's flip the script, because you brought up Trayvon Martin, okay? And this was the same type of imaging, okay, that George Zimmerman said that he found suspicious, was I think the word that he constantly threw out. So what's the difference between my perception? Well, I know in the literal sense, but I want you to talk about it from a psychological standpoint of George Zimmerman. I was thinking in terms of, you know, fear, protection. George Zimmerman's looking at the same imaging that I'm talking about, almost the same exact circumstances, but he sees someone that he thinks is about to cause a great amount of danger, I guess, to others is what was explained. Now, before you do that, I want everybody to know something about you, and you can elaborate on this as well, Jenny. Jenny Love was very instrumental in some aspects of things that were going on. She is in the Florida area, and she was very instrumental in some of the things as an advocate that surrounded the Trayvon Martin case. Jenny, tell them about that, and then if you would reflect on what I just asked you about the psychological perspective that George Zimmerman took.
Well, as far as my involvement with the Trayvon Martin case, I live in Orlando, and I've counseled. I always make time in my schedule beyond my private practice to work with at-risk youth, because I was an at-risk youth when I was a teenager, and I just find it very rewarding. But working in the Sanford area, no one had to tell me anything. You know, I know that area, and there are racial issues in that area, as there are many areas. I called the office when I had found out about, you know, I had gone on a little media break when I was writing, and I knew that Zimmerman had been retained, but I did not know he had not been arrested. When I found that out, I contacted the attorney's office and offered them my services, I gave 3 days, and it ended up being much longer. Working with Ryan Juleson, who is the owner of Juleson Communications, and he's a genius, a publicity genius. And when I started working on the case, hardly anyone knew about it. By the end of the week, we had people in China wearing hoodies. And and my part in that was so small. It was millions of people who played small parts that made the difference. And it was just an honor to be able to be part in it, because it was just such, you know, that travesty. I believe that so much is coming from it. And, his father, Tracy Martin, he is the one to me, his mother as well, but he is the one that said, no, not my son, because that happens all the time here. But you just don't know their names. And he said, no, not my son. And he's the one that made it happen. The difference is that Zimmerman was a renegade. You know, he decided he was going to take, you know, he had a gun, and he shouldn't have had a gun in the first place. And he decided he was going to go after this kid. So the stereotyping of seeing this kid, and because he has a hoodie on, thinking that means something. But it wasn't just the hoodie. It was the color of his skin. It was many other things. And, you know, the difference between those two situations is just so vast to really even discuss, because Zimmerman chased after Trayvon Martin. He, you know, called the police. The police said, stand down, and he chose not to do that. And this renegade mentality, Zimmerman is a completely different story. Now,
Let's talk about that. Jenny, I tell you, what you're saying must be alarming. I can't believe that's happening.
I hear it.
We're just going to keep it rolling, because that's what we have to do. But let's talk about that renegade mentality. Let's look at that. That's what I'm talking about, because when we were chatting about this, you used the word psychosis. And so I want you to tell us, now the purpose of this show is not to judge per se George Zimmerman or anybody. It's all for our own insight. It's for our learning. It's for our personal development, for our personal understanding of people, of situations, and of how we think. So with again, your education and your expertise, and the psychosis that you mentioned to me earlier.
Well, I'm going to break it down for you, because I know we don't have a lot of time. As a society, we are insane, and I'm not saying that in a flippant way at all. I am being completely sincere, and I'm saying that in love. We are psychotic as a culture. I mean, if you look at what just happened in Connecticut, and you can go to Walmart and buy a gun, but you can't go to Walmart. I was watching D.L. Hughley the other day, and this was before any of this happened. Part of the stand-up, he was saying that, you know, you can go to Walmart and buy a gun, but you can't go to Walmart and buy Jay-Z album because of your offensive lyrics. And it's just, we're insane. And we have to admit it. And we have to step back, and we have to reprogram our own minds. And to do that, we have to use our intuition. We have to get in connection with our spirit, because we're insane mentally, but we're also insane spiritually. And it's just, I mean, it's such a big hunk to take off, and it's so deep. But the key, if I could say anything for people to understand, is to start questioning your thoughts. Just because of your thoughts doesn't mean they're real. It doesn't mean they're true. So you need to start questioning my thoughts. If I have a thought and I'm somewhere and I see a kid and he looks to be one thing to me, and, you know, I need to start connecting. Okay, well, I have a nephew, and how does he appear to people? Or, you know, or I know so-and-so, and he has a lot of tattoos. How does he appear to people that don't know his spirit, that don't know who he is? And we just need to start opening our minds and using our intuition. And we need to really connect to our intuition to know what it is and to differentiate our intuition with our preconceived notions, because they are two completely different things.
You know, one of the best quotes I think I have ever heard was, just because a million people believe something doesn't make it true.
No, it does not.
That's the mentality we have to get away from. Just because a million people say it, believe it, or even, you know, exercise, it doesn't make it true or the thing to do or thing to believe. I tell you, you're right on with some of the things you're saying. I'm wondering about the word insane, though. When you say insane, I know it's kind of hyperbole that you're saying that. I know you don't mean we're all literally crazy people. But our society definitely is so different as far as moral values.
Well, actually, let me tell you that coming from a psychological perspective, to be insane, it really means to it's the not allowing of a perception that has some sense about it.
Okay.
It's not just the mentally ill part of it. Okay. So, I mean, truly, when I say that, and I'm not being flippant, I really truly think that it's seeped its way into our culture, into our societal norms, and until we're able to look at things and say, you know what, it doesn't make sense that we want to bring guns into the schools, but we have teachers that are having to go in their pocket to pay for school supplies. That is insane. That's madness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And until we really realize that, there's no fixing it. There's no curing it. We can't, until we diagnose it, we don't know how to have a plan of health.
So you're saying then, in circumstances like the Martin case, that it was just a level of unreasonable, unethical, unproven thought ideas that were going through his head based on probably something that he'd seen on TV and never experienced. What are you saying exactly about that?
What I'm saying about that is that's so deep it would take us 2 hours to really break that down. But at the end of the day, what it comes down to is Zimmerman was someone who just decided to take the law into his own hands, and it resulted in the death of a young man. And
so
that's why stereotypes, we say they can be deadly. They are deadly. What were you getting ready to say?
What I was asking, even what you just said, there is a need to feel power, a need to feel some type of control or a sense of heroism.
There is a need for control in people. I mean, if you look at the word stereotypes, it's actually, I can't break it down perfectly for you, but I know linguistically, somewhere in there, it was based from a Greek word on either, I think, solid. And people want to have a solid way of thinking. They want to have a firm way of thinking to feel like they have a foundation where they're safe. And they think, if that guy's bad, then I know that guy's good. But it's just not that simple, because Ted Bundy looked like a really good guy. So we need to just wake up. Not be crazy anymore about these things. Be balanced. The madness has to stop. And just wake up and I'm telling you, Silveray, I cannot talk about any of this without talking about the great, great need for people to get back in contact with themselves, with their spirit and their intuition. Because that's our GPS. That's our soul's GPS. And we're insane because we're so out of contact. We're so out of sync with that. So at the end of the day, I'm Jenny Love, and love is my message, but at the end of the day, it really is about fear versus love once again. And we have to start choosing love.
Well, I totally agree with Jenny, and I one of the things I did want people to go away with is understanding that our responses and our reactions do require a lot more objectivity and not to be so judgmental, but to at least have a framework in our mind that says we can be more accepting, at least trying to learn before we make those kinds of decisions about people and about a person or about certain societal things that are going on. That was my whole point. We didn't get a chance to talk a lot about the fun things that I had on my list. I had, you know, some things like stereotypes about women being horrible drivers and men being scared of commitment.
You can see those for the next time. Because there are a lot of those are important too, because they're part of our perception. So we can save those for next time.
I did want to share another little funny story, though, before I let you go, because I thought this was such a significant one. And just to give people a perspective of how easy it is to stereotype in other ways that are not as horrendous as what happened with Trayvon Martin. But someone shared a story with me. I was doing a training, and someone shared a story with me that is in a customer service capacity. And what happened was that they were servicing a particular individual, and this person, the representative, used some very strong and harsh language with this individual, only to find out later that this was a very high-profile person who actually worked within the company that she was waiting on, and so she got some real good reprimand from that situation and almost lost her job. But here's what she said to me. She said, I just looked at him and thought he was just like everybody else that I worked, that came to me, that I had to service, and I didn't see him any differently. Most of the people I have to service have certain issues and commonalities, and so it didn't matter to me. She said, but then I find out the hard way that this guy is a big wheel. And she said, you know what I do now? I treat everybody like they're a big wheel. And I thought that was just so great. You're going to stereotype them, treat them all like they're very important. So I wanted to share that. So it's not just these hardcore situations where we stereotype. All of us are guilty about it in some kind of way. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. And I'm glad that our conversation was so exciting and so alarming that we set off alarms while we were talking.
That's when you know it's good.
I appreciate you. I know how busy you are.
I appreciate you, Silver Ray. I appreciate you as well, and I appreciate what you're doing with these programs.
Yes, thank you for your support. You do offer a lot of support to me, and I appreciate that. So I am going to wrap up right now. I want to thank everybody again who did take the time to listen in, and I will hope that you will tell your friends, as I had suggested before. I've got lots of really great, really fun shows planned ahead, so I hope you'll join me. We'll be doing this every Monday at 11:30 Central, 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. Tell your friends that the Fox is on the air. I'm going to look forward to talking to you again in about a week. In the meantime, make the rest of the day the best of your day. Thank you so much for listening.